John's Gospel, chapter 14. Starting to read at verse 15. That's John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I've spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Well, we're continuing this evening with the series that we've been engaged with for the last few weeks as we study Bill Hybels' book, Too Busy Not to Pray. And we've looked at some of the chapters in the book. And the chapter that we're going to look at this evening is the importance of listening to God. Listening to God. And I've chosen this passage from John chapter 14 because it seems to have a few verses in it that link directly with the idea of us listening to God. We've been talking about prayer, and the first thing you think of when you think of prayer is us speaking to God. But it's just as important for us to include in our thinking the idea that we are listening to him, that he is speaking to us. And Jesus says in verse 26 here, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." The Counselor does this, the Holy Spirit that Jesus gives to everyone who is a believer. We've all received the Holy Spirit, and he teaches us, he reminds us of the things that Jesus has taught us. He speaks to us, it's God speaking to us. And so there's someone there for us to listen to. Good example of this, a good illustration of this, is the way modern racing drivers operate. A modern racing driver these days has a helmet radio that he's wearing that he can listen to all the time, and a microphone, so he can communicate two ways with his team in the pits. And so the team can say, your petrol's running a bit low, you've probably got two more laps, it'll be time to come into the pits and get a fill up, and keep reminding him of all the things that he needs to know to look after the car and make sure it finishes the race and does the best possible time. And when I were a lad, a few years ago, racing drivers didn't have that equipment, and that they went racing around the racetrack with their heads sticking miles above the car, looking extremely vulnerable, because if it turned over, they were going to get killed. And they didn't have a radio. So just imagine the difference that makes if you're a racing driver, the difference it makes if you're all on your own, you've got to make all your own decisions, and you've got to watch what's happening in the car yourself. You've got to decide when to come into the pits. I suppose they could flag them down, couldn't they? But very much you're on your own. And nowadays, it's a doddle because they've got this two-way communication all the time. Made a tremendous difference, hasn't it? And that's a good illustration, I think, of the difference between us living the Christian life as we're supposed to live it and somebody trying to live the Christian life, functioning on their own initiative, their own intelligence, their own wisdom, and their own strength. You're not going to get very far doing that. You're not going to win the race. And so let's keep that illustration in mind. We're modern racing drivers. We've got helmet radios, and we can keep in touch with headquarters all the time. There can be two-way communication. We can ask questions. He can give instructions. And we're never out of touch with him. It is extremely important that we do remember this aspect of prayer. It's important in ordinary communication, in ordinary friendship, really, that there be two-way communication. If you invited a friend round for a cup of coffee and you sat yourselves down at the kitchen table with your cups of coffee and your friend just started rabbiting on and talked for an hour without giving you any space to interject or ask or anything or talk about yourself, it wouldn't be a very satisfactory relationship, would it? And if we're not careful, we can treat God like that. We can come into his presence in prayer and we can rabbit on for half an hour and never really give any space for him to speak to us and for us to listen to him. There are people like that, aren't there? Have you come across anybody like that? Anybody that wants to do all the talking? And you try and get a word in edgeways, and they don't take any notice. They just go back to what they were talking about as soon as you close your mouth. And that's not satisfactory, is it? And we just need to not treat God like that. So if we're talking about listening to God, how are we supposed to hear God? How does God speak to us? Well, I'm sure you can think of some other ideas, but here's three ideas, and these are the three ideas that Bill Hybels suggests in the chapter in the book. Different ways that God does speak to us. Through the Bible, which is pretty obvious, and you probably would have thought of that straight away, it's God's Word. We call it God's Word. And we mean that when you open the Bible and you read it, you expect God to speak to you. And he does. And it's quite important, I think, when you come to the Bible, that you come with a receptive frame of mind. And that you even pray to God and say, Lord, I'm going to read your Word now. Please speak to me through it. And that probably would make a difference to our attitude to it if we read it like that. God speaks to us through the Bible. God speaks to us through other people as well. Not that everything that anybody else says to us is going to be God speaking to us, of course. But we do need to listen out for the possibility that God will be speaking to us through other people. And sometimes we receive guidance that way when we're praying, asking God, Lord, guide me. And then somebody will come and speak to us and give us a word of wisdom. And that's the way God is answering the prayer. And that's God speaking to us. And then also, of course, God speaks to us directly through the Holy Spirit. which is what we started off by talking about when Jesus promised, I will give you a counselor, the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you into all the truth. He will guide you. He will remind you of the things I've taught you. The Holy Spirit is there in our hearts. He's never any distance from us. We never have to go anywhere to find him. He's always there, and he will speak to us. And that's one of the reasons why God has given him to us. God does speak to people. The Bible is full of examples of God speaking to people. I wonder if anybody would like to give me some suggestions of examples that you can think of. People in the Bible. Thank you, Andrew. Moses at the burning bush, God spoke to him. Yeah, that's right. Samuel, the boy Samuel. And he heard God saying, Samuel, Samuel. Didn't know who it was to start with, did he? But he did. He worked it out in the end after he'd gone to see Eli three times and said, is this you talking to me? Eli said, nope, you go back and you say, Lord, speak to me. And Samuel learned from that God can speak. There's a couple of Old Testament examples. Anybody think of a New Testament example of God's? Thank you. Paul on the Damascus Road, yes. Paul was knocked off his horse and blinded. And then somebody said, Paul, Paul, or Saul, Saul actually said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul, from his lowly position on the floor, said, well, who are you, Lord? Who am I persecuting? And the voice then said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So Paul heard the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Anybody else got a suggestion? Somebody that heard God speaking? Noah. Yes, Noah. Yeah. God told Noah to build the ark and told him that there was going to be a flood and the way to escape was to build an ark. The Bible is full of people hearing from God. When you read the Bible, you might think, well, how do these people hear? Were they a different breed of human being in those days? Because nobody seems to hear an audible voice these days. But perhaps it doesn't mean it was an audible voice in those days either. When the Bible says that God spoke to people, it may be just exactly what we mean by it as well. That they had that intuition, they knew it was God speaking to them. It wasn't an audible voice, but God made it clear to them that that's who he was. In the New Testament, we've got this promise of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will be a counselor who will be with us forever. That was verse 16 in the reading. A counsellor. I suppose we're probably all familiar with the word counsellor from, there's probably a student counselling service, isn't there? And a few years ago, I actually benefited from some counselling. I booked a series of counselling sessions, and it was very useful. A very sympathetic and wise person took me through a thinking process. And that's what we mean by a counsellor. We got a picture of a counsellor. Yeah, there she is. You can just see she's wise and sensitive, can't you? By looking at her face. And she's listening. She's listening to that person. And she'll just give that wise advice when it's appropriate. And so that's, some of us have probably had that experience of talking to counsellors. And even if we haven't, we've probably had experiences of talking to wise friends or pastors or anybody that will listen to you and give you wise advice. We call a counsellor. Counsellor is somebody who helps us to make good decisions, especially if you're coming to a crisis in your life and you know you've got a decision to make. and you know what you want to know which way to go, it can sometimes be very useful to arrange to meet with a counsellor. But the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus calls our counsellor, you don't have to make an appointment to meet with him because he's with us all the time. And he will help us to make life-changing decisions. He will guide us day by day. So Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, "You are led by the Spirit." He addresses that to all the people in the church in Galatia. He says, this is your experience of the Holy Spirit. There's a number of other things he says about the Holy Spirit in that chapter, the fruit of the Spirit, for example. But this thing he says, you are led by the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. He will show you what to do. He will help you to make the right choices. He will guide you through life. Because this idea that we are led by the Holy Spirit, that we're guided by God, that doesn't mean that you don't have to use your brain. It doesn't mean that you don't have to make up your own mind about some things, that you have to make plans, that you have to use your brain to make preparations for things. So God's guidance doesn't make it unnecessary for us to make decisions. We do need to be sensible. You don't get up in the morning and get on your knees and say, "Lord, show me which pair of socks to wear today." It's not likely that God will be bothered with that. So you've got to make your own decisions about things like that and choose which pair of socks to wear. But you do need to be on the alert for God's guidance when he does give you guidance. And at the same time, while you're putting the socks on, it may well be that the Holy Spirit will say, "This morning, you need to go and visit so-and-so because they're in real need of a friend to go round there and show them some sympathy." And that's the Holy Spirit telling you that. And it's wonderful the way people sometimes describe getting God's guidance like that and going round to somebody's house, knowing that God's guided them to do that. And the person opens the door and says, "Oh, I'm so glad that you've come. I've had some really bad news today, and I really need somebody to sit and pray with about it." And you "Oh, praise the Lord, you did guide me. That was guidance." It does happen. So the Holy Spirit, the Counselor, is with us all the time. You don't have to book an appointment because whenever you need to talk to him, whenever you need him to talk to you, he is always there. And we mustn't, some people sometimes say, "Oh, it's just a voice in your head. You know, you don't need to take any notice of that." Well, fair enough, you can make mistakes, and sometimes it is just a voice in your head, and you can do something stupid. And that is a possibility, but because that's a possibility, that doesn't mean that we should discount the whole business of guidance. It's a question of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, isn't it? That, okay, we do make mistakes sometimes, but that doesn't discredit the whole idea of being guided by God. There's an interesting section in Bill Hybels' chapter where he asks the question, why is it so important for us to be open to the Holy Spirit speaking to us? What things does he do for us by speaking to us? And Bill Hybels gives four suggestions of things that the Holy Spirit does for us when he speaks for us to us. Four things that the Holy Spirit's prompting achieves. And here they are. It's how we become Christians in the first place. That's the first thing. I don't know about you, but I can. It's a long time since I became a Christian, but I can remember it quite vividly. It was a Thursday evening, and I was 18, and I was sitting in a room in somebody's house, and there was quite a thinking process that led up to this, but this was the crunch time. And I was sitting, I'd just heard somebody give a short talk explaining the gospel. And I was sitting there, I was surrounded by other young people actually. And that some of them were all chatting and they were drinking coffee and things. But more and more I kind of sat there and felt as if I'm just on my own here. But God is there. And God is speaking to me. And God is saying, come on, son. When are you going to do it? When are you going to commit your life to me? And I just knew it was God. And so all I needed to do, really, at that point, is to respond and say, yes, Lord, okay, I'll do it. And all the thinking had led up to that. I didn't need to go through a complicated load of prayer. But all I needed to say was, okay. And I knew I was listening to God. And in fact, however you describe your own coming to faith, it's only happened because the Holy Spirit was at work in your heart. And that's why Jesus says, no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. The Holy Spirit does it. People can't become Christians unless that happens. So there's one reason why it's extremely important that we listen to the Holy Spirit, why his prompting is so important. The second thing that's so important, the next reason, is that this is how we get assurance that we really are Christians. Assurance is quite an important thing. And again, I can think back to when I first became a Christian. And during the weeks after my conversion, I often used to ask more experienced Christians, how can I know that I'm a Christian? How do I know that it's worked? And there are various things you can say to people when they ask that question. But actually, the most important thing is that the Holy Spirit should say to you directly in your heart, yes, you are a child of God. And again, it's Paul who describes that when he says, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. And once that's happening in your heart, once the Holy Spirit is doing that job, testifying that you are a child of God, then you don't need any longer to go to your Christian friends and say, tell me how I can know that I'm a Christian, because the Holy Spirit's telling you that you are, and you don't doubt it anymore. So that's extremely important. That's another important thing that the Holy Spirit does by speaking to us. The next thing is that it's how we grow as a Christian. And again, we're looking at the passage in John. Jesus says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit does for us. He guides us into the truth. He leads us into maturity as Christians. He helps us to grow as Christians. And fortunately, he doesn't do it all at once. If the Holy Spirit said to you when you first became a Christian, these are all the things that are wrong with your life, and I want you to sort them out, you'd probably collapse under the stress. But that's not how the Holy Spirit does it. He does it one thing at a time, which is nice. He'll say to you one week, I'd like you to sort this thing out. And you think, oh, yeah, I suppose I ought to, really. And please help me. And Then you get through that thing, and then he'll move on to the next thing. And he helps us to grow as Christians. And then the fourth thing is that it's how God guides us. We've talked about this earlier on. People often testify that God has shown them what to do, go and visit somebody or something like that. And it's the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And as well as telling us to do things on a day-by-day basis like that, like go and visit your friend who needs your companionship, the Holy Spirit will also help us through those life-changing decisions that all of us have to meet with at some point or other, going for a new job, deciding to marry somebody, all those big decisions, the Holy Spirit will guide us. Of course, with a big decision like that, you'd be well advised to talk to other people about it, to discuss it with trusted Christian friends. Do you think she's the right person for me? Do you think I ought to marry her? But in the end, when you've discussed it with other people, the important thing is that you should know what it is that God wants you to do. And the Holy Spirit can show you that and give you confidence and assurance that you've heard right. Isn't it amazing that God gives us his Holy Spirit to live in us all the time and to keep us in constant communication with him? We shouldn't neglect this gift that he's given to all Christians, and we make the most of it by taking the time to listen to God. So perhaps, not now, but perhaps later on after Faith Cafe, when you've got home, when you've got a bit of peace and quiet on your own, you could just practice this and say, Lord, we've been thinking about listening to you. I'm going to listen. Please speak to me.